Okay. So now we have, this is not really a lesson, this is just exercise, and it is very important for preparing the examination, because we are going to show you how to make calculation with decibel. The decibel scale is logarithmic. So please forget all you know about algebra. Algebra for decibel is different from algebra from normal quantities, because these are logarithms. So multiplication becomes a sum, and everything is different. 20 plus 20 does not make 40. Okay? This is the rule. So, when you have two different sounds, and they are summed, because you operate two sound sources simultaneously, how you compute the total sound pressure level, knowing the sound pressure level of the two sources separate one from the other? This is the first question. So, the sum of two sounds. The answer is not univocal. There are two possible answers. In reality, there are infinite, because one of the two possible answers opens a broad range of possible results. But let me start from to the first answer, which instead is univocal, the energetic sound. Two sounds make a sum with the energetic rule when the two sounds are mutually incoherent, are different. Two different sounds, like my voice and a piece of music. If I play some music with the computer while I am talking, the two sounds do not interact, because they are completely different. So what happens at the listening point is that the energy of my voice sounds with the energy of the music, and the result is the energetic sum of the two sounds. This is very simple, gives you always a single result, and what happens 99% of times. But there are also different cases when the two sounds are coherent, and we will see this later. That is much more tricky and much more difficult. In 99% of the case, and if nothing tells you anything specific, you always assume energetic, incoherent summation of the two different sounds. How you sum energetically the two sounds? You don't sum decibel, 20 plus 20 does not make 40. You don't sum pressure, also if the pressure is the physical quantity we are talking about, because we are talking about some pressure level, but we don't sum pressure. We sum energy, and energy is proportional to squared pressure. If you remember from the previous week, energy density is proportional to squared pressure. That is potential density, energy, but is energy. So what we want to do is to get from the first sound pressure level the corresponding energy, which is given by the ratio of pressure 1, the pressure of the first sound, the first source, divided, the reference pressure squared, and working back the definition of decibel, if the value of the first source in decibel is 10 times the logarithm of P1 / PE squared, reversing this formula, P1 / PE squared is 10 raised to the value in dB divided. If the value in dB was 80, is 10 raised to the 8th power. The same for the second source. You have P2, the sound pressure level of the second source, say 85 decibels, and you compute the corresponding energy by making 10 rise to the value in dB divided 10. These pseudo energies can be summed, as you see here. And when you sum these two pseudo energies, what you get is the total square pressure, which is, substituting this expression here, 10 times the first level divided 10 plus 10 times rise to the second level divided 10. Once you have got this total energy, you employ again the decibel definition for getting the total sound pressure level given by the energetic sum of LP1 and LP2. And substituting this expression inside the definition of decibel, you get this final result. 10 times the logarithm of open bracket 10 rise LP1 slash 10 plus 10 rise LP2 slash 10. This is the formula for energetic sound. This is something you need to have by hand. I told you, you should never learn your formulas by memory. That's true. And also during the exam, if you forget one formula, you can look in your handout or in your piece of paper, everything you carry with you, and you can check if the formula is correct. But this is a formula which is used every day. So it is so simple that you should get accustomed to it, and you should eat very quickly. There are also some tricks. Here we see an example in the chart. First we make the example. First level is 80 decibels, second level is 85. We substitute these two numbers inside the formula and we get the total level is 10 times the logarithm of 10 raised 8 plus 10 raised 8.5. You make the computation and the result is 86.2. Let we make it real using the calculator contained in Windows. Well, Windows does not contain only one calculator. It contains two calculators. One works correctly, this one. The other works not correctly, make wrong computation. And unfortunately, the other, the wrong one, is the standard one. So, as you open the calculator in Windows, what you see is this calculator, which is broken. It's completely wrong. I prove this to you. I make 2 multiplied by 5 plus 10. What is the result? 20. Correct. Reverse it. 10 plus 2 multiple 5. 60. Wrong. This stupid calculator does not know about priority of operation and it makes wrong calculation. It's crap. It's completely unreliable. You never have to use this one. But if you go to the scientific calculator, now everything works. Let me try again. 2 plus 5 plus 10 make 20. 10 plus 2 multiplied by 5 make 20. Now it works. Okay? Luckily enough, once you select to use the scientific calculator, Windows remember your choice. So, since now, it will work always with the scientific calculator. So this is the third setting you need to make in your computer. First one is to set the international parameters to English. Second one was I don't remember anymore. I told you in the previous lesson. This is the third one. Set the calculator to scientific. To remove the hide extension for known file types. So you always see the file extension of the file names. Okay? And this is the third setting. They are so obvious to me that I often forget to tell this to students. Also this morning, there was one student making the acoustic examination, it was reacted. He went with a computer with the Italian settings for the dot and comma decimal separator. He made everything wrong. He did also study a little, very little. So in the end it went away. But one of the reasons for being reacted was exactly this one. He was not capable of doing stupid calculations like this one because he had the wrong setting on his computer. And so the computation was wrong, and I told him. But the problem is that he did search for excuses. The point is that an engineer must do correct calculation. Dot. Finish. No other way is acceptable. Every computation should be correct. If you make a wrong calculation, I'm sorry, but I am going to react you at that time. So this is very strict. There is no solution. You must learn to make correct calculation. Okay, come back to our example. So what we need to do is to use this formula, you see? Try to employ this formula if we manage to enter it correctly. So, it is a correct calculator, you should be able to work out the formula in a single pass, without making intermediate computation. This is another cause of rejection at the exam. You must be able to use a calculator for passing this exam. You cannot write on the paper the intermediate calculation and then re-enter them in the calculator. If I see that, I react you immediately. An engineer must be able to do such a simple calculation in a row, in a single step, okay? Should be able. Must disperse too much. Let me try. 10 is this 10 multiplied the logarithm. No, not correct. This calculator is too stupid. The handle calculators usually are better. Try again. 10 multiplied. It requires a bracket. Open bracket. Clear everything. Start again. 10 multiply, open bracket. Here you can write really 10 and then use this operator for rising it. But there is already the 10 raised to x function. So you can write probably this one, power 10 to 0. Wow, this calculator is horrible. Also past year I had the same problem. Okay, let me write it the stupid way. It's stupid, but it works. 10 multiplied, open bracket, 10 raised 8 plus 10 raised 8.5, okay, close, logarithm. Okay, now the formula is correct. 10 multiply the logarithm of 10 raised to 8 plus 10 raised 8.5. I press equal and I get the result, 86, which is correct. Okay, fine. So this is the numerical solution. Then we have the graphical solution. Also the graphical solution is nice and can be handy. But before entering the graphical solution, let's see and look at this second example, which is even easier, because the two levels are equal, 80 plus 80. So you re-enter these two numbers here, but what happens here is that you can collapse these two numbers, which are equal, writing 2 multiply only the first. And using the logarithm operation, you can separate 10 times logarithm of this, which becomes 80, plus 10 times logarithm of 2. And 10 times logarithm of 2 is 3 decibels. 10 times logarithm of 2 makes 3. So the rule is 80 plus 80 makes 83. Now let's see if you have understood. How is 40 plus 40? How is the result? 40 plus 40. No. I fear you did not understand. 40 plus 40 is 43. And 60 plus 60? Ah, now you have understood. Summing to equal level always give you 3 decibels more. That's the rule. Again, it is a stupid rule, but you must know this at the exam. If you don't know that, you don't pass the exam. Summing to equal level give you 3 decibels more. And this introduces us to the chart. What is this chart? This is the level increase, the augmentation of level occurring when you add the secondary source. In abscissa here you see the difference between the two sources. Of course the first is always assumed to be the loudest and the secondary source is usually weaker. So if you have a source with a certain level, in this case the first must be 85, and the secondary is and the secondary is 80, the difference is 5. So here you are. You go up here, hit the car, go right, go left, excuse me. You are in the wrong way, and you read here 1.2. What is what 1.2? Is the amount to be added to the loudest of the two. So the loudest is 85, 85 plus 1.2 gives 86.2. So without any logarithm calculation, without any calculator, with this chart you can easily sum two levels in decibel. And you can use this during the exam. Both written exam and oral exam. So, I understand that the calculator is a powerful tool. But as we have seen before, it's not that easy using properly an electronic calculator. It's not easy on the computer, it's not easy with the handheld calculator. You should learn to manage such a tool, but it's not easy. I am not telling you, oh, it is a very stupid thing using a calculator. It's not a very stupid thing, it's difficult. And it is very easy to make an error. So whenever you have a graphical solution, I always prefer the graphical solution. Even nowadays that the computers are so fast and so good, still a graphical solution is better. It's impossible to make it wrong with the graphical solution. Instead, when you start pressing buttons, it's very simple to make a wrong computation, okay? So in practice, this chart comes handy whenever you have to sum to value in decimal. Here you see another thing. When the difference between the two levels to be summed is very large, is 10 decibels, the increment given by the weaker sound start to become quite negligible. If I have a sound source which is 90 decibels, adding another source which is 80 decibels does not increase significantly the sound level of the first source. Remember that our hearing system can only detect an increment of 1 decibel or more. If the increment is 0.4 decibel, as you see here, we don't hear any increment because it is below our incremental threshold. The incremental threshold is 1 decibel. Any increase of sound of less than 1 decibel is not perceived as an increase. It's perceived as everything not changing. Okay? So this means that 90 plus 80 makes 90. Stop. 90 plus 60 makes 90. There is no effect. If the secondary source is 10 decibels or more weaker than the primary source, the secondary source disappears, is masked. Okay? That's the concept of masking. It's very easy. If the secondary source is less than 10 decibels, lower, is more than 10 decibels, lower or smaller than the primary source, the secondary source can be neglected completely. Very easy. So all the gain is between 0 decibel difference up to 10 decibel difference. Here you use the chart. Above 10 decibel you can certainly tell that the increment is practically zero. It's never zero really. It's just a small fraction of decibel, but who cares? We cannot hear it. This kind of approximation is one of the reasons for which we acousticians are considered not scientists. Usually scientists are always to be precise, accurate, never make approximation. In acoustic instead, you continuously compare your feelings and your computation with human perception. And whenever the result is not perceptually relevant, we discard it. These make the acoustical computation appear to other kind of scientists something like magic. They tell you, how is possible that the secondary source has no effect on the primary source? Has not perceptual effect. That's the answer. We always look at the result perceptually. And as shown in the previous example, in the previous hour, what we always do, we check with our ears. As we work on recordings, everything is always one click away from listening. You just click play and listen. This, in many cases, give you more answer than numerical computation. Your ears are a very good tool. I told you, up to 2 years ago, there was no spectrum analyzer as good as your ears. Now we have, but they are not easy to find and to manage. So, still, your ears are the most valuable tool in this world. Just listen. And tell me, is louder or is not louder? It's not louder, the secondary source does not matter. Okay? That's the point. Of course, as you can make summation, you can make subtraction. Why you should make subtraction? The most common case is to remove the effect of background noise. You are going to measure the level produced by a sound source, for example by a machine in a factory, and you want to write on the record how much sound your machine is doing. You don't want that the measure contains the effect of other machinery which is operating beside your machine. You only want to measure that one. But you cannot switch off all the other machines because they are all part of a production system. If you switch all If you switch off all the machines, your machine cannot operate because it don't get products from the previous machine in line, it cannot feed product to the next machine in line. So you cannot stop everything and only keep your machine working. So what you do? You first measure the background noise with all the other machines operating and your machine off. And you measure a background noise of 80 decibels. Then you switch on also your machine. So here this is the total level given by the background plus the unknown level of your own machine, and the total is 85. You need to depurate, to clean your total measurement from the background, which is contained here. So you must subtract the energy of the background by the top from the total energy you have measured. And how you make the subtraction? The formula is the same as before, but there is minus instead of plus. It's so stupid. You add the total energy, remove the background energy, what remains is your machine energy. And you make the computation, and 85 minus 80 give you 83.35. Again, you can do this easily with a chart. Again, you enter the chart with the difference between the total level and the background level, and again this difference is 5 decibels. So you enter the chart in this position, go here, and read the value, which is around 1.7, more or less. This is the quantity to be taken away from the loudest one. The loudest is 85, is the total energy. You remove 1.7 and you get 83.3, which is correct. So again, the chart substitutes the calculator. Okay? Now, the problem of the coherent sound. If the two sounds are identical, are the same sound, they are not sounding energetically. They interfere. What is interference? Interference is a very complex phenomenon. I don't think I can really explain you all the details of the interference. Interference is really tricky. Interference depends on phase and on amplitude. When the two sounds arrive to the microphone, the two sounds arrive with different time of flight into this room. In this room we have two loudspeakers. Both loudspeakers get signal from this microphone. So the same waveform, the same signal, is given to the two loudspeakers. If you are in the center of the room, you will get some sound from the left loudspeaker and some sound from the right loudspeaker. The two signals are going to interact. How they interact? In any instant, the two pressure sound. If the two pressure are both positive, you get an even louder pressure. But if one of the two pressure is positive and the other is negative, the two quantities subtract each other. And if they are the same magnitude but opposite polarity, they will cancel perfectly. And this can happen. The two loudspeakers can cancel each other and you don't hear anything. This is so-called negative or disruptive. Negative interference. Positive interference is when the two signals are in phase, both positive or both negative, so they really sound. So the result of the coherent summation is not univocal. It depends on the relative phase of the two signals. There is a maximum case, which is the one being computed here, in the case the two signals are really in phase. In this case, the sum does not happen to the squared pressure, but it happens to the pressure, and the pressure is given to 10, rise the first level slash 20, not slash 10, and the second again is 10, rise to the second pressure slash 20. When you have got the total pressure, you come back to decibel, but remember there is this square here. So the sum pressure must be raised to a power of 2. With the property of logarithm, this power of 2 can be brought outside the logarithm, becoming a factor, so 10 becomes 20. And this is the formula for coherent in-phase summation. In case of perfect in-phase summation, the formula is this one. And what is the result of this formula? The result of this in-phase summation is that 80 plus 85, if you use the formula, make 88.9. And in the maximum case of two signals of the same amplitude, 80 plus 80, it will give you again a factor of 2 inside the logarithm, but this factor of 2 now is multiplied by 20 instead of 10, so the sum here, 20 log 2, is 6 decibel more. So 80 plus 80 give you 86, not 83. So in the case of perfect summation, you get 3 decibel more. That is twice the energy, actually. So is a significant boost in level if you manage to get perfect coherent summation. This is the goal of loudspeaker systems which are phase coherent. And this is a great commercial success nowadays because these coherent loudspeaker systems are usually installed in sport arenas or for rock concerts and so on. And those loudspeaker systems are built with a certain technology. All the loudspeakers must be stacked close to each other with proper angles and proper tolerance for having their sound to interact properly. But if the system is tuned perfectly, you get in a wide area of the audience perfect coherent summation, and you get much more sound pressure than what you could compute with the energetic sound formula. So in that case, the interference is a good thing and provide a louder sound and a better directivity control of the loudspeaker system. And those line array of loudspeakers are now widely employed in sport arena for rock concert, in the stadiums and so on. They are very effective, providing a lot of sound pressure in a very well-controlled way in a given area. And outside this area, they don't give any more coherent summation, they give incoherent summation, so the level drops. And that's good. You have some level where you want to have it, and less noise pollution outside the listening area. So it's a big advantage. Every doubling the number of loudspeakers, you get 3 decibel more. So with 2 loudspeakers, you get 3 decibel more than energetic sound. With 4 loudspeakers, you get 6 decibel more. With 8 loudspeakers, which is the typical number employed in those line array, they usually mount at least 8 loudspeakers, in some case even more, you get 9 decibel more, which is a lot. Every 3 decibel, the energy doubles. 6 decibel is 4 times the energy, 9 decibel is 16 times the energy, is a lot. So it is a very efficient way, the coherent sum of levels. Okay? Of course, there is also negative interference. When the two sound level happens to be out of phase, the formula is not this one anymore, but you make the difference here. 85 minus 80. empties cause drop of signal. So the signal becomes quite small. So when you get negative interference, the second loudspeaker can be a canceller for the first one. This is the principle of active sound cancellation or active noise cancellation. You can use an artificial source, a loudspeaker, for reducing the noise of a machine, for example. If you are able to radiate sound which is perfectly opposite phase than the original source, what you get is a canceller for your sound source. This kind of equipment is employed, for example, over aircraft, inside the aircraft cabin. There are such active noise cancellation systems which reduce the noise of the propeller of the aircraft. This is typical for propeller aircraft, not for jet aircraft. Jet aircraft are quite silent. Propeller aircraft are much more noisy. And so you install this kind of active noise cancellation inside the aircraft cabin for reducing the noise of the propeller. And this is effective. It can reduce the level by more than 10 decibels. So it's really quite effective. With loudspeaker system, this happens in a room like this one if you switch the cables of one of the two loudspeakers. So when one loudspeaker is radiating positive pressure, the second one is radiating negative pressure. If you wire incorrectly, you see the loudspeaker are usually wired with a pair of cables which are red and black. And you see why? It's alternated current. Also, if you switch, it sounds the same. It sounds the same if you have only one loudspeaker. If you have two and you switch the wires in one of them, you get negative interference and the sound tends to cancel. It's terrible. So you must always be very careful in checking the polarity of a multi-loudspeaker system. If one loudspeaker has reversed polarity, it makes the sound to be horrible because it cancels the sound frequency, go in complete cancellation, some other will go on in partial cancellation, the spectrum will be with peak and valleys, it will be terrible. If all the loudspeakers radiate with the same polarity, the sum is always positive. Perhaps it's not the maximum sum possible, like in this case, but what does matter is that it does not cancel. Okay? Okay. See how many slides are here. No, we are not going to finish this today. We will finish during the next lesson. I think we can stop here now. Because this topic at this time is too hard. Any questions? Okay.